I love Psalms 121. It's like life insurance policy, sort of. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. I don't know how that affects you, but like, he will not let me stumble. I wrote off to the side, we may get knocked down, but not because we stumble. He watches over you. You won't sleep. You won't slumber and miss it. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and you go, both now and forever. Isn't that powerful? But I want to just briefly read it again in the context in which it was written, because it's clearly lined out who this psalm was written for. Because we all want that, right? Like, God, you never let me stumble. Lord, you never fall asleep on the job. Lord, you're watching over me. You'll keep me from all harm. You'll be with me, watching over me as I come, as I go, now and forever. My help comes from you. I mean, everybody wants that, right? It's conditional. This is who it was written to, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. That means it was people who were coming from a distance. They were following, they were going to Jerusalem to seek God. This psalm was written for people who were seeking God and going, God, I need you. I want you. I want to find you. Jesus even said, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you'll receive. This psalm was written for those people that are seeking God. And if you've ever been at the place where you feel like all hell's broken loose and you're like, what do I do now? Who's going to help me? I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord. He made heaven. He made earth. He won't let me stumble. He watches over me. He won't sleep. He watches over Israel. He never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord watches over you. He's a protective shade. The sun won't harm you. Neither will the moon. The Lord will keep you from all harm over all your life. He'll watch you as you go and come and go, both now and forever. If you're here and you're seeking God and it seems like all hell is breaking loose and you're running hard after him, I'm telling you, this is for you. You should write this down, Psalms 121, because he's not going to let you stumble. He's not going to let harm come your way. He's protecting you. He's shade from the scorching sun. He's with you in the night. He'll be with you now and forever as you seek him. Isn't that a cool psalm? And so that kind of is the segue that I want to use to talk about purpose tonight and what God's called us to. Because it is one thing to seek him, it's another thing to know what he has for us. And I want us tonight to know exactly what he has for us. Now look, I'm not gonna talk about like a specific situation. I don't plan on it anyway, going, and you, this is what exactly what God has. But when we understand like the general purpose, it's like the specific things take care of themselves. Can y'all do me a favor? Can y'all give me a little less gain in the booth? I feel like I'm, is that okay? Because I feel like I'm blowing you guys away with my voice. Am I? Probably not. Thank you. Okay, good. What does God want us to be? You ever ask that question? God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to be? What do you want? No, I'm the only one. It's so simple. All we have to do is take it back to Genesis chapter 1. Three simple things. What does God want us to be? And it's actually in the notes. God wants us to be, number one, connected to him. God wants us to be connected to him. Genesis chapter 1, he made Adam and he made Eve. Why? To have fellowship with him, to know him, to love him. God wants us to be connected to him. Do you know how simple that is? He wants me to be connected to him. And he relates to us as a father. Man, I'm a father. What do I want for my kids? Do I want them to do the right thing? Well, yeah, why? just because doing the wrong thing has really nasty consequences. But more than anything else, I want them to be connected to me because I love them, and I'm never going to steer them wrong, certainly not intentionally. And I'm a faulted, flawed human. God is perfect. When we're connected to him, he will not lead us astray. What does God want us to be? Connected to him. What's the next thing he wants us to be? Connected to people. Connected to other people. Do remember that God made Adam in a perfect world, and Adam was perfect and without sin. And then he looked at him and said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to have somebody who can help him, and he created woman. That's a big deal. And God's call for all of us, this is what he wants from us, to be connected to him, and then to be connected to other people. Proverbs 18:1 is really a profound verse, and it struck me like, and just bam, hit me in the forehead. This was years ago, and I'd read it before because I'd been reading a Proverbs a day for a long time, but Proverbs 18:1 just stuck with me at a season in my life where I was really getting burned out on being around other people. Anybody been there? I was like, okay, God, I love you, but like, you're going to have to help me love other people, like, because I'd just like be a hermit right now. And it just smacked me. It says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against all sound wisdom. Let me just tell you, if you're at the place where you feel like, man, I just, there's a difference between isolation and solitude. Solitude is you getting away so that you can be close to God and closer to people in the long run. Does this make sense? Isolation is me pushing everybody else away and saying, I don't want anybody around. Leave me alone. I just need to get the heck out of here because everybody's crazy and I'm going to go crazy if I'm around them. And it's not what God's called us to. What does he want us to be? Connected to him, but then to be connected to other people. The last thing that he wants for us is to be connected to our purpose. This is the why. But let me just tell you, the enemy is always there to get it wrapped up in the what we do. My purpose is, and this becomes an identity issue. My purpose is, and then we relate it, even if it's on a subconscious level, to like what we do, men in particular. Like we relate our identity, and if we're not careful, our purpose to what we do every day. Let me just remind you that people can even relate their identity and their purpose in a very unhealthy way to church. God's called us to be connected to people, sure, but our purpose isn't church. Our purpose is much greater than that. Is the church, not a building, not an institution, not an organization, is people a part of what God has for us? Well, sure, but it's not the end all. What has he called us to? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28, and I think it's fitting because a lot of times I can look back and go, man, I've not been connected to God. I've been not really connected to other people because I've isolated myself, or I don't want anybody up in my junk or in my business, or I'm frustrated with people, and my purpose is like, well, yeah, God, I can rattle it off, but like there's a heart stoppage thing. Has anybody experienced that before? Y'all know what I'm talking about? How can I do that? And if we're not careful, we'll get condemned because we feel like we haven't been connected to God, to other people. Our purpose is, wait, what is it? And then Romans 8:28, I love it. It says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then he defines what our purpose is. Wouldn't it be great if there was a scripture in the Bible that clearly defines what our purpose is? Wouldn't that be awesome if you go like, man, I know what my purpose is. It is. It's Romans 8:29. It says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Let's just stop. Those whom he foreknew. Who did God know before they were born? This is like so simple. Like, who did God know before they were born? Everybody. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. What does that mean? That means before they were ever born, he knew them and he had a destiny and a plan for them. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to what? Romans 8:29 very clearly lines it out. He says, he predestined them to become conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29 gives us our purpose to be like Jesus. Man, there's a lot of people that You know, we want to invoke Jesus' name and say, in Jesus' name. And we want to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. That means I'm a follower of Jesus. And yet, sometimes it's a little muddy on what Jesus was like. Not because it's not easily accessible or understood. It's because we're not really seeking him. We're not spending time finding out who Jesus really is. That we can read the Bible and read the Gospels, and that gives us a great picture of what Jesus did while he was here on this earth. But here's something profound, and I want you to get this. Jesus is alive. Like, he's still real. Like, he's not the guy that died on the cross and then was put in the grave and like, oh yeah, well, he came to life and like way over there and like, but I don't know anything about him. Let me tell you, he's real. Like, I'm not crazy. Jesus is alive and he'll talk to us and like we can know him and he will like move in our spirit, like who we are and the essence of who we are. And like, it's for true. And I know this sounds like some, either you've heard it 1,000 times before or I'm crazy. I don't know. But he's alive. And the purpose for which we were created was to know him. To be like him. To be connected to other people. And to see heaven come down to earth. And may we never forget, when Jesus' closest followers, now remember, they're walking with God in flesh form. They're like, hey, can you teach us to pray? Because we see you doing that a lot. And like, we need to know. Everybody knows, most people that were not even growing up in church, they know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. If we're connected to our purpose, we have to be connected to Jesus. When we're connected to Jesus, we really truly believe, because we know he's alive, that heaven can happen on earth. Like, that's not craziness. That's not insanity. Like, I really believe that when we come together and we have the same heart, the same vision to see God show up in such a powerful way, that it's like heaven on earth. And that my heart begins to reflect that. How many of you had a tough week? Anybody? Crazy tough week? Mine's been not tough. It's been crazy, though. And is anybody, it seems like the minute hand on your watch or on your clock is like going super fast and like the just like, what the heck's going on? Let me just tell you, don't forget there's a purpose. And I know the world can be crazy, but it can be like heaven in our heart. The days don't have to fly by and we have to be full of anxiety and full of freaked out. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. When we're with Jesus, you know what we get? Peace. John 14:27, Jesus says, here's what I'm giving to you. Peace of mind and peace of heart. Anybody here need peace of mind? Like you're anxious or your brain's working and you go to lay down at night and like 1,000 things start rolling through your head and you're like, does anybody ever have that analytical mind that can like roll on its own? Let me just tell you right now, the gift that Jesus gives us is peace. He says it and he's alive and it's for true. It's real. I give you peace of mind and peace of heart so that we can have in the two places that matter, our head. Okay, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to think on that. My brain can slow down. I've heard so many people say, I just can't stop thinking. And I'm just going to be honest. Yeah, you can. The reason that you're not is because you're trying to figure it out yourself. Stop. Trust God. I hate goofy sayings, but it's so true. You have to let go. You have to let God have his way. Let go of it. Peace of mind, and then peace of heart. How many of you, you've had, like, your mind's not rolling, but you feel this sick thing in your stomach, like I don't even know what it is, I just feel, has anybody experienced that? Your mind's quiet, but you're like, your gut's like, Jesus promises us peace of mind and peace of heart. What do we have to do? Really, all we have to do is receive it. But if you're holding on to your control, to your way, You're holding on to, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. What about this? How can you receive something if God can't put anything in your hand? You can't receive because you're holding. Stop. Let it go. If we want to be like Jesus, the man was never worried. You realize this, right? He was never worried. I mean, people are coming to kill him. I'd be freaking out. He wasn't. Why? Because he was connected to the Father. He was connected to people that loved him, and he knew his purpose. So how can we be like that? I mean, a bunch of you raised your hands and said, man, I deal with that. I need peace of mind and peace of heart. How can we be like Jesus? You want to know? We're just going to look at one passage of Scripture. It's in 1 John chapter 3. Man, I love the book of 1 John. It's in 1 John that we see that God is love. And there's a lot of love up in this book. How can we be like Jesus? Chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Okay, that's so profound. God loves us. He calls us his children. That's what we are. Any parents in here? Wow, it's a lot. How would you feel if when you had promised your children, listen, this may be a bumpy ride, but look, stick close to mom, stick close to dad, it's going to be all right. Don't worry, I've got this, you got nothing to worry about, I promise, baby. It may be a little scary to you, it may be a little freaky, there may be some things that are like, whoo, but as long as you stick with me, everything's going to be all right. And daddy, mommy loves you, you are my baby. What if that child would look at you and say, I don't deserve that. I've been too bad. No, and would push away from you. Would that break your heart? How many times have I done that? Revelation. God loves us and calls us his children. That's what we are. I am a child of God. Can y'all just say that with me? I am a child of God. I got small kids. When they're with daddy, they're not scared or worried or anything. And in fact, in the innocence and wonder of a child, they want to be with dad. The biggest treat for all of my children, even my turning into a big man 12-year-old, the biggest treat in the world is to come and jump in daddy and mama's bed at night. Like, we have to meter it because having four kids in the bed with us is kind of hard sometimes. And they get crazy and then they start fighting. But that is like the prized place to be. We have that with our Father. In fact, that's my favorite time with my kids. Come and jump in bed with daddy. You got to be clean first. Go take your bath. Then you can jump in because I'm a clean nut. God kind of is too, though. That's all right. He cleans us up. We don't have to worry about it. Just like I give my kids bath, it'll clean us up. But I want them there. It would break my heart if they said that I'm too dirty. I've been too bad. I can't be there tonight. And I play that situation in my mind. I'm going, no, baby. Daddy's taking you to bath. It's all right. You don't have to worry about that. Daddy will take care of that. And no, there's nothing that you can do that's going to make daddy love you any less. You don't know, dad. And I'm gross. No, don't touch me. How many people, that's their relationship with God. And in that state of brokenness, they raise their fist and say, I get mad. God, why? No. How can we be like Jesus? Number one, embrace family. Please embrace family. God is our Father. He calls us His children. That's what we are. Let's read on in that verse. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know Him. That's why people, when you surrender your life to Jesus, some people might think you're a freak. They don't understand. They just don't get it. Verse 2, dear friends, we are already God's children, but He's not yet shown us what will we be like when Christ appears. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming back. We should embrace the family of God, embrace the fact that we're one of God's children, and that Jesus is coming back. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. How do you become like someone? Spend time with them. Please, let's connect to God. And let's embrace family. The next thing, how can we be like Jesus? Embrace the family of God, please. Embrace the fact that you are a child of God. And He's not mad at you. And if you are seeking Him and you come to Him and you say, God, here I am. And you feel dirty and you feel gross and you feel worthless and you feel condemned and horrible and full of shame. Just come before Him and say, God, here I am. You know what He does? He will clean you. As long as you allow Him to get close. He does the scrubbing. He provides the water. All you have to do is be with Him, and He takes care of the rest. You just got to stand there and say, yes, I'm dirty, and I want to be clean. Clean me. And He does. Isn't that cool? Embrace that family. The second thing, live pure. Don't go back to the filth. Don't go back to the smut. Don't go back to the junk. Look at verse 3. All who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. What expectation? That we are with Jesus, that we are a child of God. If we have that expectation, I'm going to keep myself pure. Why? Because I know His love. I know He wants me. And like my kids know that, like, look, Daddy gave you a bath. You can get in bed with Daddy now. They love it. They think it's wonderful. It's the best thing in the world because they feel safe and secure. Do y'all remember that? I hope you had a family healthy enough that you could snuggle up with Dad and with Mom, and it's a safe, secure place. Not everybody has that. I grew up with that. It was awesome. It's my favorite place to be as well. It's my kids' favorite place to be. Man, if I have that love and I know that, man, I get to be with that, I would not go run back outside and get dirty again. Not because I didn't want to. I may have wanted to. But my love for being with my dad and my mom trumped my desire to go and get filthy. Does this make sense? Because you know what we're talking about, right? We're talking about sin. We are all tempted. Jesus was tempted. Well, how could He not sin? Because He had an unbelievable and profound revelation of God's love. Verse 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. When we are in Jesus, like when we are being led by Him, there's no sin. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin. Think about that. Every time you've willfully sinned, have you been walking with Jesus? He is right there with you, and you are like, here, oh, come on. And then you just... Every time we sin, we know we're going, I think I'll go do my thing. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him or understand who He is. And I look at patterns of sin and realize, even in my own life, those patterns of sin existed, not because I didn't recognize it and didn't hate it. It wasn't a lack of understanding about what sin was doing to me and to my marriage and to my heart and to my soul. It was not a lack of understanding of the wickedness of sin. You know what it boiled down to? A lack of understanding of how good God was. And that in Him, if I'm, like Psalms 121, if I'm on a journey with Him, seeking Him, I can't stumble. It's not because I'm unable to fall. It's just because He's with me and I'm with Him every step of the way. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin. Anyone who keeps on sinning doesn't know or understand who He is. To me, that's like really profound and simple. I sin because I have a greater understanding of what sin is and condemnation, but I don't understand the love of God and truly what he has in store for me. So I think that the sin is better than what God has for me. Y'all remember, like, I haven't watched TV for years. We haven't had TV for probably 6 years now. This is a personal choice. I don't care if you watch TV as long as you don't watch smut. But y'all remember Dr. Phil? Is he still on? He's still on? He is? Y'all, there's always a payoff. What's your payoff? What's the payoff for, if y'all remember that? I don't know. I don't remember much about Dr. Phil. I wasn't a big fan, but like, what's the payoff? There's a payoff there. There's always a payoff with sin, isn't there? We think that if we do this, even though we know it's wrong, like even on a subconscious level, there's a payoff. But the reason that we'll choose that over God and we continue to sin is because we don't understand or know truly. Like, we can have it with our head, but there's a spiritual revelation that needs to take place in our heart about who God is, knowing him, understanding him. Because we lack that, what do? We go here. Does this make sense? Are y'all following me? Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what's right, it shows they're righteous, even as Christ is righteous. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. It's really profound. But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil. They've been sinning since the who has been sinning since the beginning. Look at this comma. It's so huge. But the Son of God came to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. We've probably all been in the place where we've kept on sinning. But when we are with Jesus, guess what he does? He destroys the work of the devil. How can we be like Jesus, embrace family, live pure? So how do you do that? You allow Jesus to destroy the works of darkness and sin and death, the works of the devil in our life. Well, how does he do that? He just shines his light in. I mean, if we killed all the lights in here, by the way, it'd be really, really dark because there's like no windows anywhere. It'd be outrageously dark. One little light, I mean, really, just that would light up the whole place. When we're with Jesus, we allow him to get close and we draw near to him, he's light. It shines in the darkness. How is the work of the devil in our life destroyed? We walk in the light. Actually, that's 1 John 1. I'm just going to turn back a page. Verse 5, it says, "This is you don't have to put it on the screen. This is the message we've heard from Jesus and declare to you, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. We're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light," this is so good, "if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other." Why do relationships fall apart? Because somebody's walking in darkness. "We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." How do we live like Jesus? Embrace the fact that I'm a child of God. Secondly, live pure. And for me, like, it was hard for years to read verses 3 through 8, at least 8a, the first part of it, because I'm like, dang, I've been sinning. I've been doing a lot of that. Like, this is no good. Now it's saying what it's saying, things like, I don't know him or understand who he is because I'm sinning. Jesus came to take away my sin. I'm like, I've got it. I got that, but I'm still sinning. I don't know him or understand. Oh, my goodness. But verse 8, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Look at verse 9. It's so profound. Those who have been born into God's family don't make a what? A practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. This is not a mandate on your action. I hope it's a revelation of your understanding where it says a practice of sinning. Let me tell you the freedom that came to me here. Here it was. We practice something in order to get better at it. There are some people who practice their pet sins when nobody's looking because they like the payoff and they're getting better at hiding that and doing that. Are y'all following me? Stop. Allow the light of Jesus to flood in. Stop practicing sin. And for me, it was like, great, I'm not practicing sin, God. I'm not trying to get better at it. I'm trying to get rid of it. And here's the revelation I want you to have. It's not about doing, like, you need to stop that right now. You can try that, and you can will yourself not to do things that you really want to do. But that's a willpower thing. What's greater than your willpower is God power, because you're walking in the light with him. And there's no real effort to, like, not sinning. You're just with Jesus, and everywhere you go, there's light shining. And everywhere you go, you're sharing that light with people. Let me tell you, you start getting outside of yourself and sharing the light of Jesus with people and praying for people and reaching out, like literally taking their hands. I'm going to pray for you right now. Is that all right? Look, they're going to have a deer in their headlights look for a little bit. And then you'll just go, God, I just pray you bless them and watch over them, and you do something great in them. Amen. I can't tell you the number of people that are actually massively impacted by that. And in our prayer group, we've seen a lot of prayer requests answered just by praying for people, and we're not even with them. But can I tell you where the greater impact is? In your life. Because you're connected to God. Now you're connected to other people. And you realize your purpose is to see the kingdom of God advanced. I feel like I'm a little scattered. Are y'all getting this, though? Good. How can I be like Jesus? Embrace family. Live pure. Stop practicing sin. If you're practicing sin and you're like working at hiding something or working at something so that you can get better, whether it's like a gambling addiction or it's some sort of addiction or it's some relationship that you know you probably shouldn't have, but it's not bad yet, but like let me just hide that and delete this and do it. Stop. Stop. You're walking in darkness. Let me remind you, the enemy can only traffic in darkness. They can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. How many of you really have, like, given your life to Christ, but there's this struggle with sin? And I'm telling you, you have that struggle with sin because we don't really understand or know the greatness and the goodness of God. How many of you have been in that place where, man, you really do love the Lord? He's transformed your life, and yet you've continued to sin. How has that been anybody before? It's definitely been me. They can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. Let me remind you that God will deliver you. You have to allow him. You can push him away and say, I'm too dirty, I'm too gross, I'm too filthy, stop. Or you can say, hey God, not now, because there's a payoff coming over here in the area of sin. But if you really are a child of God, it's only a matter of time before he grabs you and forces the bath on you. He'll bring you to a place where your filth stinks so much that you see his hand in your life. God corrects us. Do you know that? There's a discipline that comes. I prefer the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit than the corrective hand of God. My kids prefer that with me too. But sometimes the hard-headed ones only learn the hard way. May we have a soft heart. The last thing, as we're wrapping up, and it's the biggest one. It's verse 10. Man, how are we like Jesus? Embrace family. Live pure. That's not a mandate to do. It's an encouragement to be with Jesus. The last thing, how can we be like Jesus? Love others. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Now that's big. We can tell, wait a minute, there's a test to tell if I'm a child of God or I'm a child of the devil. That's big. How many of y'all want to know that test? It's right there. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Wow. Anyone who does not live righteously, this isn't a mandate for you to like, I'm going to live right. No, you're living the righteousness, the rightness of Jesus in us. It's not about me doing, it's about me being with him. I'm living that out. Anyone who doesn't live that way, like you're trying to do it, like to legalistically, I shall do this, I shall not do this. Stop. That's not righteousness, that's legalism. Righteousness is like the light of Jesus is flooding my heart and soul, and it's just pushing everything else out. It's like I've got so much God and so much good going in, it pushes out all the junk, and the only thing that's flowing through is that which is pure. I hope that resonates. How do I get to the place where I'm living righteously? God,
fill me up. And you put so much good in that the only thing that can come out is good. Anyone who doesn't live righteously, this is a big one, and does not love other believers, does not belong to God. I've actually heard people in ministry say, ministry would be great. I'm talking people who get paid in ministry. I'm like, man, I feel sorry for the people in your church. Ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. I'm like, that's messed up on so many levels. That's people who have been hurt and abused and wounded by others. Let me tell you, welcome to the world. Jesus said, guarantee you this, offenses are going to come. And they did for Jesus, didn't they? Did Jesus live in the light? Yeah. Did Jesus live perfectly? Yeah. Was he constantly with the Father? Yeah. Was God's purpose fulfilled through him? Yeah. Hebrews 5:8 says, Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Walking with him doesn't mean that there's no suffering. It means that we allow him to live through us righteously, and we love others even when they're stabbing us in the back or nailing us to the cross. Yeah, but you don't know what they've done. I mean, I would imagine it's probably not as bad as what they did to Jesus. That's why we see where it says, anyone who doesn't live righteously, doesn't love other, and does not love other believers, does not belong to God. Verse 11, last thing. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. My mom is about the most godly person I know. And I know a lot of people that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Number one, she lived with my dad. He's an amazing man. He's not easy to live with. She's a saint for that. No joke. Number two, my earliest memories from the time I was little bitty. Was waking up, walking down the stairs. I grew up in the same house from the time I was 2.5, 3 years old until I got married. Walking down the stairs in the morning, my mom would be in her night robe, sitting in the recliner with a cup of coffee and a Bible, and it was either closed and I could see her praying, or it was open and I could see her seeking. And she's an amazing woman. Her life was ministry. She never was on staff at a church, but I saw her counsel more people every day. No joke. Every day people were coming to her house. Coming to our house and sitting, talking with my mom. And the older that she's gotten, I can't tell you how many times she said this. She says two things usually. Number one, son, look around. Everything's deception. You better be very careful. And the second thing she says, the longer I serve Jesus, the more I realize it's about us loving each other. Man, you can have all the head knowledge. You can quote the entire Bible. You can preach the best sermon in the world. You can operate in every spiritual gift that they have. But if you don't have love, you got nothing. Actually, you have exactly what the demonic entities have. An understanding, an ability to operate supernaturally. But it's all in darkness. Because why? There's no love. So here's my challenge. Do you love God and the family of God? If you do, you're living pure. Do you love people? When people encounter you, they should encounter someone who believes the best about them. They should encounter someone who embodies love. Can I just say that's not always with a smile per se. Sometimes love is speaking the truth because you know that there's something greater than the place that they're in right now. Y'all follow me. Love isn't always hugs and smiles and high fives. I love people enough to speak truth. But can I tell you 99% of the time what it is? Hugs and smiles and high fives. Because we celebrate people. Because we believe the best about people. Because we
man, this isn't arrogance. Like, we celebrate ourselves. I've been such a fool in that area too. How many of you, you're your own worst critic, and you're harder on yourself than you'd ever be on anybody else? Pastor Tom and Pastor Josh came to me Sunday a little trepidation, and they said, "Hey, Pastor, don't be upset. Don't be upset." But like, we emailed people. They said this after first service though, when everybody's telling me happy birthday. I don't even know why. We emailed people, and like, there's cake out and everything because we told them it's your birthday, okay? Because I used to fuss and pitch a fit because you don't celebrate anything about me. That's like, that's not even right. That's messed up. Man, we love people, celebrate people. If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love other people? You can't love yourself. You don't have an understanding of God. You don't know God. And let me tell you, you'll be more prone to sin as well because you feel like you just don't deserve the goodness of God. And I can speak from personal experience. How are we like Jesus? Man, embrace family. Embrace the purpose and plan of God in love, 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 love. Yes, there's times of truth because you love. It's not always smiles and high fives, but 99% of the time it is. May you live that out. And may when people come here, you've spent enough time with Jesus that your heart and seeing people come here is to be the hands, to be the heart of Jesus to them. And we love on people. We've been growing. Y'all know that, right? We've seen every service, not just like every service, people giving their hearts to the Lord. We have 30 people getting baptized Sunday. I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm like pumped. That's awesome. Let me tell you why that is. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And may we have freedom to love on people. Let me tell you, thank you. Man, the people that I look around and go, what a tremendous man, like Robbie Lewis. That dude, God has done so much in him. He doesn't even know I don't even know that he knows the impact that he's had on others. No. Raise your hand, no. Love. Ryan. No, I'm just calling off the guys I pray with. It's probably not fair. I just look at like the Tracys and the Jennifers that have gone out of their way to make people feel welcome. I look at the even people who are quiet and calm and who feel like they don't often do a lot, have so much impact. And Aaron. You know, and Aaron Guidry, like, I'm just, just shake people's hand and say, man, that handshake shows the love of God. And maybe the light bulb of understanding will come on. Thank you. People get saved because we love each other and love them. We embrace family. I'm a child of God. Y'all my brothers and my sisters. Y'all don't have to call me Brother Todd. That's a little odd. I think I like those TV shows with Mormons and stuff, like Sister Wives or whatever. You know, like, no, 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 nope. We're family. That's awesome. Let's live in the light. Let's love each other. Love people into the kingdom. Let's stand together. So you're going to grab the hand of the person next to you. If you don't know them, that's your long-lost brother or sister. If they smell bad, like, speak truth and love to them later. Not right now. Can we pray for this weekend? Because here's my heart. We have a lot of people that surrender their life to Christ. And I'm speaking on baptism. I know the story that I'm preaching, and I really feel like I have a word. But there's no way that a pastor can do what God's called them to do. In fact, the job of a pastor is to empower the people to do the work of the ministry. What's your job? What's your work? Love God and love everybody that comes through these doors. Thank you for walking around like this. Who can I hug? Who can I love? People come to Jesus because of that. Don't discount it. Father, thank you for this time this evening. Lord, I just pray that you use us with hearts knit together and a heart for you to see heaven come right here in our own hearts and our families. In our church, may you pour out your Spirit on us. May thousands and thousands encounter you and encounter your grace and your goodness and your forgiveness and your cleansing and your love, your redemption, your restoration,
as we come together and believe your children, we know it. We live in the light and we love. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love y'all. Thank y'all. Have a great week. See y'all Sunday. God bless.